Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. As I continue on in a message I began yesterday, which I've entitled The Celebration of New Wine, and I will not reread the scriptures, but I shared a few verses from the Gospel of John, the second chapter, which spoke about the marriage at Canaan, which is the first of the miracles that Jesus did. It says in verse 11, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." And if you recall just briefly, his mother told Jesus that they were out of wine. He asked the servants to bring the water pots of stone, which were used for purifying the Jews. It was for cleansing, and to fill them with water. They filled them to the brim, and he said, "Take it to the governor of the feast." And when the governor had tasted, he said, most men do it just in the reverse, but you have saved the best until last. And so here we see Jesus performing the very first of his miracles, and our purpose is just to look at this and see what are the things we can glean and learn. As I shared on yesterday's broadcast, I felt there were many that really needed spiritual joy. Joy in serving the Lord. Not that your love has grown cold, or that you've backslid or turned away from the Lord, but you just don't have that joy that is so essential for us to be filled with enthusiasm and zeal for the things of God. Now let's take just a moment to consider what was going on as the scriptures describe this event. The wedding celebration among the poor, and of course the people of Jesus' times were poor in this little village of Nazareth and Canaan, and that the whole area in which he lived, there were poor people, shepherds and farmers and peasants. And so this was a really big deal. It was a very special event. And the marriage ceremony was conducted late in the evening after the feast. And for people whose lives would be hard, this was a glorious occasion. For a good many people, their wedding would be the greatest celebration of their lives. And as I was reading, the Lord quickened some things to me, which I'd like to share with you. Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding. His mother was there, and when they wanted wine, they found it had run out, and the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Now, wine was a symbol of exhilaration and celebration. Those involved in preparing the celebration at the wedding of Cana were alarmed because this was a serious breakdown in hospitality. It seemed this fine celebration was about to be marred badly. And you can almost feel the distress in Mary's words when she told Jesus, "They have no wine." And this was to be the beginning of Jesus' signs or miracles. And I want to share and want us to see the deeper spiritual meaning that is encapsulated, if you will, in these few verses. We're witnesses, beloved, not only to the power of Jesus to change physical elements, as we know from the Word of God, and some have actually experienced dramatic physical miracles, but there's another miracle that's perhaps even greater, and that's his power to change people's lives. You've probably heard there's one of the greatest miracles of all ages is the salvation of a soul. They are being translated out of spiritual death from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And what we see here, Christ's willingness to perform this miracle is a beautiful statement, if you will, of what Christ will do for a person who wants fullness of life. I'm thinking of a very dramatic moment in the life of a great prophet of Israel. I'm referring to Isaiah. And in the sixth chapter of Isaiah, hear what he said. It was a transforming moment, a moment that changed his life and his ministry. And he said in verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His glory filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one with six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And they cried one unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke, the smoke of God's presence and glory." Then hear what Isaiah says. He said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me." Beloved, what is in this beautiful passage of scripture for you and I? Well, obviously, Isaiah had a literal vision of God. And as God's people, we can't request visions on demand. But if God does not choose to let us see into spiritual realms, if we don't have a literal spiritual vision, and they are happening in this day, but not everyone experiences them, that's up to the Lord. However, in our heart of hearts, in our mind's eye, if we will meditate on the word, what is Isaiah saying? He saw the Lord's glory. And if we will meditate and in worship God, realizing that he is truly our God, King of the universe, that there is none beside him, that majesty and glory and honor surround him, that he is the Lord omnipotent and he reigneth, and that everything is subject to him, as we begin to meditate on his purity, on his majesty, on his holiness, as the seraphim were crying, beloved, whenever we can do that, he is our friend. He's no longer called us servants, but we are friends. He is our bridegroom. He's our brother. There's one that sticketh closer than a brother, and that is Jesus. But beloved, we must never forget that we are serving the Lord majestic, the Lord on high, and that he is the great God, and there is none beside him. And we must never lose sight of his holiness or his majesty. And from that, all the other aspects of our relationship will fall into divine order. And so, beloved, just as Isaiah, when we can really grasp the holiness of God, we will realize how much his grace has been extended to us, how grateful we can be for the cross of Christ. Every time I think of Calvary, I think of what God did for you and I. And beloved, it makes us so aware that as sinners, we had nothing to offer for God, but thank God through the redeeming precious blood of Jesus Christ, we were washed from our sins, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to us, and we now can come before the throne of grace. We can come before the Lord of glory. We can stand in the presence of the unveiled Christ and worship him as his beloved children. This is what God has done. There's a friend I know personally. I mean, he was taken in the spirit while driving his car and stood before Jesus. And it was at that point he was saved and he realized how sinful he was. Beloved, when we stand before the holiness of God, we will realize our condition apart from Jesus. And what happens once he realizes that, then God intervenes, and in Isaiah's case, it was a seraphim who took a coal off of the altar of God and touched his lips, and he said, "Your iniquity is purged, your sin is pardoned," and your iniquity actually is taken away, thy sin is purged. And so God has done that for us, and his response is, because he has realized what God has done, he became one of the most powerful prophets to all of Israel in ancient times. He said, "Lord, here I am, send me." And beloved, if we will come into the throne room of God in the Spirit, and if we will have an experience of God's holiness, if we will see his beauty and his excellence and the wonder of his ways, we will bow down and worship before him, and we will say, "Lord, I'm a humble servant, but here I am, send me, however you can use me, whoever I can speak to, whatever you would have me do, Lord, I am willing." Beloved, when we have this experience, God will use us, and he will infuse us with his presence, and he will fill us with a spiritual joy that, regardless of what we go through, who shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of our lives. Whom shall we be afraid? Praise God. He is the health of our countenance. He is our strength, our refuge, our high tower. And so, beloved, know that as you meditate, as you seek God and seek him earnestly, he will be found of you when you seek him with all of your heart. God, that's our prayer today. Let us seek you as never before. Let us cry out to you for souls. Cry out to you for revival, to see our families brought in, to see our friends, our co-workers brought into the ark of safety. Father, do that work which only you can do. Help us to be willing, yielded vessels, surrendering to your purposes, and may you receive the glory alone. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my time is gone, and I will bring this broadcast to a close. There's much more I would want to share in terms of the message. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. And just know that I love you and I pray for you every day. I'm so grateful, UCM Partners, for your prayers and your prayerful support financially. And for you, my radio listening audience, even if you've never written, I pray for you every day. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.